It's Sunday at the festival, our final day at the festival, and it's been another fantastic day of writers from all over the globe and right across the spectrum of literature and genre and all those other words I don't understand. We're going to wrap up our day at the festival, and then we're going to share some of our highlights of the entire thing with you. To share her day at the festival, first up, we've got Catherine.
Thank you. I started the morning with the Commonwealth Writers session with Nicola Leggett, who works with Random House, and she's a festival trustee. So she was in conversation with Aminata Fauna, Craig Cliff and David Mitchell. They're on their way to the Sydney Writers Festival for the announcement of the overall prize. And Nicola Leggett made the comment that there's nothing like hearing writers speaking in their own voices, hearing their cadence and tone when they're reading their own work. And I quite agree. Aminata Fauna was up first to read from The Memory of Love, a book set in Sierra Leone. Her voice is such a beautiful voice to listen to. It's a deep radio quality voice. She has a beautiful turn of phrase with her work. The part of the book she read was about Kai, who's a surgeon in Sierra Leone in a hospital that's incredibly poor, has very little resources, and she spoke of having to work with a generator controlling the lights and how he poises with scalpel in hand like a conductor when the generator fails, just waiting for the lights to come back on. Then there was Craig Cliff, a New Zealander. Nicola Leggett described his stories as being sly, funny, but affectionate. He had set himself a challenge of writing a story that was much longer than usual. 14,000 words it turned out to be, and it was first-person female voice, a very difficult challenge for him to do. He read from this work, which is called Unnatural Selection, about Rachel, who comes back to New Zealand after many years away. He spoke himself about living overseas, how much he enjoyed it, being away from New Zealand. No more Paul Holmes, no more Winston Peters, no more hearing about Dan Carter's latest pulled calf muscle. He could tell people he won a silver medal at the Commonwealth Games, and the Americans would go, "What?" After him came David Mitchell, who has written The Thousand Autumns of Jacob Desart. He was lovely. He was so lovely. But he began his session with saying, "Who's Paul Holmes?" The audience all laughed. And he read a lovely piece from his book. The scene was set in the garden. Jacob was speaking to a Japanese girl that he was very fond of. The Japanese girl was asking why the scarecrow in the garden was called Robespierre. And he said it was because the head falls off when the wind changes. I felt that the character Jacob really was David. It felt so intimate and private when he was speaking in his voice. And had a lovely phrase, "I wish spoken words could be captured and kept in a locket." My next session was an hour with Tia Obrett, who wrote The Tiger's Wife. This young lady is 22, but she is so self-assured. You would have thought she had been interviewed on stage for years. She started writing her novel when she was 19. It's a brilliant multi-layered story. She's very interested in the Occidental and Oriental storytelling traditions. In Eastern storytelling, the emphasis is on plot, what happened. In Western storytelling, it's more on character. And she was told very early on at workshops that there are really only two stories that have ever been written, either a stranger comes to town or someone goes on a journey, which is really a reverse of the first one. She spoke very maturely and looked like the all-American girl, blonde hair, shiny teeth, but she has this Balkan heritage that definitely comes through in her writing. She writes under her grandfather's last name. Her grandfather was Slovenian, her father was Bosnian. Apparently her grandfather asked on his deathbed whether she would dedicate her novel to him, which she does, and Obrett is her grandfather's name. There was an interesting question from the audience near the end of the session where someone asked her what was the similarity between her and a tiger, as it was such a recurrent feature in her novel, and she said, "Stripiness." I ended the day with going to the grand finale, and this was a session with Stephanie Johnson talking to Tia Obrett again, David Mitchell, David Vann, Aminata Fauna and Gail Jones. They were discussing the angst-ridden process of finishing a story and sending it out into the world. It was pretty hectic session, actually. They were talking a lot at once. But the impression I came away with was that they're just very ordinary people. They all write in different ways. They have different processes of dealing with their stories. David Vann seemed to be Superman. He could write a novel in 5.5 months, 2 hours every day, and it would get it knocked out. And once it was finished, that was it. It was fully formed, ready to go into the world. All the other writers were astonished, especially David Mitchell, who said that he had to write 30 to 40,000 words and then discard them before he could get to the point where he felt he could make a start. The lovely thing for me was seeing these well-known authors asking each other's questions about their techniques. They still wanted to learn from other people.
A great day. I went to the grand finale as well. Many of the writers said that they knew it was time to finish a book when their editor started screaming, and I could certainly relate to that. So, Bronwyn, how was your day?
I had a bit of a quieter day today, actually. I spent quite a lot of time people watching and eavesdropping, which is always fun at the festival. Lots of people, again, everywhere and all over the place, and all having brilliant conversations about what they'd been to and what they were going to and what they thought about things. So that was really great. I went to a session on fantasy fiction, big personal favourite of mine, and I was really looking forward to this session. Cassandra Clare, Garth Nix, Margot Lanigan and Elizabeth Knox in conversation with Paula Morris. Lots of great insights into writing fantasy, how it comes about, how they do it, and a very lively discussion about why people hate genre fiction. I will blog about that so you can all read about it and feel very pleased with yourselves. Then I went to an hour with Vincent Ward, and he was talking about his movies as well as his art. The session was focusing on his new book, which is called The Past Awaits, and there were lots of shots from this book as well as a few clips from movies that he'd done. It was quite a different audience for this session. They were kind of like the arty filmy people. They really were quite different from some of the other people we've seen in the other sessions, but very heavily invested in the whole talk and conversation as well. There was a quote right at the end from Vincent. Someone, I think, asked him what his overriding theme for his work was, and he thought about it for a minute, and what he said was that everything he does is about trying not to drown but to swim, and trying to fly and not to fall. And I thought that was rather beautiful and very true, actually.
It's been really striking, the range and the different types of audiences that have come to this festival. There's been young people, there's been old people, there's been everybody in between, strangely enough. But it's been a really good mix, and I think it shows the strength of the program, and again, the quality of what's on offer. It really is something else. I started my day with a session on Leo Benjamin, who will be well known to some Christchurch people. He was a painter who did about 500 work in his lifetime and was always something of an outsider, but he worked with the group in his kind of day job was at the Caxton Press, so very, very influential in terms of the output of that publishing house. Peter Simpson created the talk originally for the Christchurch Art Gallery. There is going to be an exhibition in July, hopefully, for Christchurch, where we can all go and see some of these fantastic works. Simpson said that he thought Benjamin put together the first graphic novel, what we would call a graphic novel today in New Zealand, a little work called Fantastica, which had a whole range of illustrations in it that were all thematically linked. He also showed many of the paintings that were done as part of the group, and when the others, such as Rita Angus, were doing landscapes, Benjamin was doing portraits. And later, when he came back to painting, lots of others were doing portraits and he switched to landscape. So he was kind of always out of step, and he got missed by the art historians of the 70s, but now Simpson says he will become more and more important. So we're very lucky in Christchurch to have so many paintings in the Christchurch Art Gallery. It was a fascinating session and people were very, very interested. Then my morning took a poetical turn and I met Reeves. He has this way of doing poetry that just lures you in and drags you into the poem, and then all of a sudden he'll deliver an absolute knockout line. And he said that's exactly what he wants to do. He wants to make you ache and he wants to break your freaking heart, and he succeeds. And he was every bit as engaging and energetic and full on and incredibly funny in person as he was on stage. A pleasure. You can listen to that on the blog. In the afternoon, I went to a really emotional session called Peace Please, which featured several people who'd survived war. It was a difficult session in some ways because of the amount of emotion that these people had when they read their books, and yet you wanted to clap them at the end because they were just so brave for standing up and talking about it, and it what must have been very, very painful episodes in their life. But it was an incredible session, and one of the speakers, Dr. Izzeldin Abu Laish, lost his three daughters and his wife and a niece, and yet he preached a very, very strong message of peace. He said, "We always ask the victim to forgive. Why not encourage the offender to apologise and ask for forgiveness?" A really powerful and moving session. So we're going to look now at the festival overall, at highlights, if we've got one. If you could choose one, Bronwyn, what would it be?
One.
Or three.
Three. Good. Three's good. I have three. My first highlight was being in the Langham Hotel and interviewing Cassandra Clare. I really loved that, even though I was very nervous about the whole button-pushing recording business. My second highlight was discovering that there is such a thing as deep-fried sushi and tasting it to find that it's not actually anywhere near as bad as it sounds. And my third highlight would be the entire session with AA Gill. I knew it was going to be great. I didn't know how great it was going to be, and it was just perfect.
Seeing AA Gill, I have to agree with that. He was just outstanding. And Reeves as well, a pleasant surprise. I'll be looking out on the internet for more of his performances. He was fascinating. But overall, I just loved being immersed in the literary world, rubbing shoulders with world-class authors, listening to their beautifully written poetry and prose, and the funny little acquaintances you could that spring up sitting next to complete strangers that you'll just start conversations about many different things. And I loved having this opportunity to stretch my writing muscles again. It's been a challenge, but I have really enjoyed it.
I agree that the whole festival buzz is something else, and I hope that we've managed to convey some of how inspirational and amazing this festival is. There's a real buzz that happens when everybody gets together to listen and talk about the sessions that they've been to. One of my highlights was the Michael King Memorial Lecture. It was Naomi Oreskes and The Merchants of Doubt, a book she and a collaborator have spent 5 years on, and incredibly investigative work, intense research, concentrating on collaboration between large industries to sow the seeds of doubt about climate change and about regulation. An amazingly detailed and convincing argument. A.A. Gill, again, he was sublime, just absolutely amazing. One quote that I remember was he said, "Double entendre only ever means one thing." And I think my final highlight, and perhaps something I come away with every year, actually, when I attend the Auckland Writers and Readers Festival, is the amount of work that these writers put in, their willingness to share it, and the dedication of all the people involved with the festival to put on the best quality experience that they can for audiences, and the willingness of everybody who takes part to deliver something quite exceptional. So again, we hope that you've enjoyed our coverage. You can read more on our blog, cclblog.wordpress.com, or get there from the library website, christchurchcitylibraries.com. We've had a great time. We hope you have too. So from Sunday at the festival and from Auckland, this is us saying
bye.